Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Prosper.com, America's marketplace for people-to-people loans. Prosper.com, where you can compete to bid on loans to fellow Americans.
The risk in Pakistan.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The stock market in Pakistan dropped 5% today. This was the first trading session since the assassination of Benazir Bhutto. The market's reacting to uncertainty about whether parliamentary elections will be held January 8th. The fear is, if there's a delay, we'll see more turmoil. S&P says it could lower the rating of Pakistan's sovereign debt if the election is postponed. Many of the other major Asian stock markets were closed today. Hong Kong was open. It added more than 1.5%. Markets in Europe are trading lower. Wall Street was little changed on Friday, last trading day of the year today, and it's a shortened session. Volume will be very light, and that will exaggerate things, no doubt. Later this morning, we'll get the report on existing home sales. China has a big advantage when it comes to manufacturing things. Labor is cheap. As Scott Tong reports from Shanghai, that'll change tomorrow when a new law kicks in.
The law says employers in China have to give workers written contracts or face big penalties. Bosses will have to give severance pay, and they won't be able to fire folks as easily. Supporters say it's about job security for workers who have long gone without it. But opponents see European-style inflexibility and new costs. Attorney Steve Dickinson of Harrison Mori says labor costs are already rising in China. This is just the latest straw.
The people who are involved in very high volume, low margin manufacturing are going to see a lot of problems over the next couple of years. That business is going to be very, very difficult in China.
In recent weeks, multinationals like Walmart and France's Carrefour have been accused of trying to get around the law. For instance, firing and then rehiring workers so that they're new on paper, which means fewer protections. Those firms deny their actions are linked to the new labor law. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Clothing and DVDs were the top two holiday gifts this year. Any guess about what was third? Gift cards. More were given this season than ever before. And now a growing number of websites allow you to trade them. But as Marketplace's Sam Eaton reports, caveat emptor.
Consumers forked out approximately $26 billion in gift cards this holiday season. An estimated 10% of that credit will go unspent. That's spawning a vibrant online shadow market. Websites like Monster Gift Card and PlasticJungle.com have created online swap meets for those who want to trade or cash in their gift cards. Sounds sketchy? Forrester research analyst Sucharita Mopuru says it's definitely buyer beware.
There is certainly a risk of fraud. These are stored value cards. It's very difficult to know what's actually on the card until you actually go to a store and run it across a register. There's a chance that the cards could have been stolen. There is a chance that the card doesn't have what was represented to you when you had purchased it.
In response, many websites now guarantee the value of their cards. But with processing fees of up to 5% of the card's balance, Mulpuru says value may have already taken a back seat. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Thinking about New Year's resolutions? Here's one. Keep your laptop close and be vigilant when you're online. 2007 was a record year for personal data theft. The Identity Theft Resource Center estimates that 79 million records were compromised. Now, that trend is not expected to change. One analyst says too many companies are reacting after the fact rather than looking for gaps ahead of time. The big vulnerability seems to be wireless data transmission.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation. Online at kauffman.org.
Over the next 48 hours, it's a college football bonanza. 12 bowl games, including the David and Goliath matchup between the University of Hawaii and Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. These teams receive millions for their participation. But for a small team like Hawaii, the payout and the publicity can mean a pretty penny. Andrea Gardner has more.
How about Hawaii? Taking on Washington, Hawaii holds on.
When the University of Hawaii beat Washington earlier this month, they won the right to go where they've never gone before, to a major bowl game. With that will come an estimated $4.5 million. It's said to be more money than Hawaii's entire football budget. University officials have yet to decide how that money will be spent, but students are already debating if the money should go to athletics or academics. Both could use funds to repair aging facilities, says journalist Mark Platt from the Honolulu Advertiser.
Money like this, even though relatively small in the great scheme of things, it could serve a great need. For the most part, most of the students would tell you, or the legislators would tell you, that the money should go to the athletic department because those facilities really are pretty downtrodden.
Last year, Boise State was standing in Hawaii's cleats, a small team from a small conference playing in the Fiesta Bowl. The school received a $4.5 million payout, which helped fund a stadium expansion project. There were also residual benefits like strong ticket sales, national publicity, and licensing deals that yielded $500,000. Boise Athletic Director Gene Blaymeyer says, more importantly, recruitment improved.
When our coaches go into living rooms around the country now, there's not a lot of questions about who you are. They know who we are. They're excited. So hopefully we can capitalize on that and continue to have the success that we've enjoyed.
Other schools around the country want their Boise State moment, and they're investing to make it happen. Sports accounting expert Michael Granoff says for many years, schools have been in an arms race, paying millions for bigger facilities and better coaches.
Football does bring all sorts of intangible benefits. Now, whether they're worth the cost or not, that's another question. And I think schools today think they're benefiting far more from their football programs than they actually are.
Granoff says with the exception of the Notre Dames and Ohio States of the world, few college football programs actually turn a profit year after year. In Los Angeles, I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
And I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.